Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Jewish rabbis tell this story. Rabbi Simeon ben Gamaliel one day asked his servant to go buy him some good food for him in the market. When the servant returned home, he presented his master with ox tongue. You can't imagine the images that I saw when I was looking for pictures to put up here. Now, this rabbi didn't really much care for ox tongue. Obviously, his tastes were very different from those of his servant. So, using a little child psychology, he said to his servant, "You brought me some food you consider good. Now, bring me some bad food." Again, the servant went and returned again with ox tongue. So his master asked him why he returned both times with tongue. The servant replied, "Good comes from the tongue, and bad comes from it. When the tongue is good, there's nothing better. And when the tongue is bad, there's nothing worse." There's a lot in today's readings that have to do with the tongue and how good and bad the tongue can be. Look at the Old Testament lesson. I'd like you to read with me, please, these verses out loud. "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning and wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." Now, did you hear how the first sentence sets the stage for the using of the tongue and its power? We'll see that also in the epistle and the gospel lesson. The contrast and the complementarity, if you will, of the words tongue and ear in the first and second sentences give us a clue that as we read God's word, as spoken from His tongue to the scripture writers, we are to hear and to give our attention to God's words with our whole heart so that we may live out His divinely given word every day. Now, the word that God speaks is powerful. And He's chosen to share a portion of the power of speech with us, His creation. We are the only created beings with that power within us. No other being in all of earthly creation has the power of speech in the same way as we have it. The tongue that we possess shares with God's tongue the power to affect others. Now, of course, we cannot create life or matter as God did in speaking creation into existence. We do, however, create with our spoken words, ideas, and thoughts, feelings. And those things can and do have a bearing on other people's lives. There are many things that our speech can do. Verse 8 in this reading speaks of the power of the tongue to accuse. And verse 10 tells of the power of the word of the Lord through His servants. The power of speech is a creative force. In the book of Genesis, God speaks, and what He speaks comes into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was light where light did not exist before. Again, God spoke, and in speaking, He created land and sea and sky where there were no such things as land or sea or sky. Now that is creative. That is powerful speech. Now, when a wedding takes place. The couple makes vows and promises to each other, spoken. And those words are powerful, and they begin to bind the two into one. But it's when the words, "I now pronounce you man and wife," when those words are spoken, that there comes into being a single couple, where before there were only two individuals. Their reality, their existence has been changed by the power of speech. Likewise, a change of reality happens in the speaking of absolution for sins. When the pastor declares those words commanded by God, your existence is changed. You are changed by those words. You are made to know that by the blood of Jesus and in His name, you are being changed. You are in truth. You are in fact forgiven. Totally forgiven of all sin. As God brought into being earth, sea, and sky by His speech, so He allows us to share in the creativity of the tongue. And here's one all you parents have done. You have named your children. You have created for them the reality of their identity. Who your children are known to this world as, that you created by speaking their name. And that is what they have become. So, we have within us something that the Creator God has chosen to share with us. The power of the tongue, of speech, of language. Now, going into the New Testament reading from the book of James. James speaks of the tongue as that which can truly be the most destructive piece of flesh. Think for a moment about Genesis, when the serpent and Eve had their little brief discussion. There, the full destructive power of the tongue is revealed in all of its shame and all of its horror. It was through the power of speech that the serpent persuaded Adam and Eve to sin, to rebel, to violate what? To violate God's word. God's word. It was the contradiction of the serpent's word against God's word that persuaded us to sin. And so, when James today speaks of the tongue being set on fire by hell and as a restless evil full of deadly poison, he makes a good point for us. James goes on in verse 8 to say that no human can tame the tongue. And he's right. But God, by taming our heart, He tames our tongue. And how? How does God tame our hearts? It's by His Word. It's by His Word, just as we saw happen in the gospel lesson today. The man crying out, "Lord," said, "I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief." That's us. Like every member of the invisible church, that boy's father believed in Christ. But also, as in every believer, the old Adam, unbelief, persisted. If we're honest, we all doubt or disbelieve that Christ either can or will give us the best things that we think we need at a given time. This doesn't mean that we have ceased to have faith or have lost our eternal salvation, but it is us begging to be reassured. And that reassurance comes but comes to us how? By God's Word. By His Word and by His sacraments. It's our heart that believes, but at the same time, it struggles with unbelief. And just as Jesus tamed this boy's demon, so Jesus also tamed the heart of the boy's father. When Jesus returned the power of speech and hearing to this boy, He changed that boy's life forever. This is now the second time, by the way, in as many weeks, as we've seen Jesus restore the power of speech and hearing to a person. Think about it. It's by these faculties that the gospel is both shared and heard, and in so doing, God changes lives. Now, Jesus changed that dad's life as well. Do you think that there was do you think that there was a person that this father ever came in contact again with on a regular basis who did not hear this story? Of course they did. You can bet this man lived and spoke of his belief in Jesus for the rest of his days. And how Jesus had used his son's healing, to help heal his own heart. This man's tongue, I'm sure, never stopped wagging about the truth of who Christ is. But the man and the boy weren't the only ones instructed that day. We all learned something about the spiritual forces that seek to draw us away from God and His love, again, like we talked about in Sunday school today. Notice that the evil spirit did not know that it was to Jesus that they were bringing the boy that he possessed. It wasn't until the boy saw Jesus that the demon reacted. Demons do not have omniscience as Jesus does. And the spirit also reacted to Jesus by attacking the boy. But Jesus' word was overpowering, and the deaf-mute spirit was forced out by what Jesus said, to leave the boy and never return. When we feel put upon, or when we feel attacked by darkness, recall that you are baptized into Jesus and therefore are under His Word, under His protection. And beyond this in the lesson, the disciples also heard from Jesus' lips about the power of prayer. The disciples displayed confusion in their inability to heal this boy, and we can take a lesson from them regarding the focus of our speech, of our prayers. The disciples asked Jesus a question, and their question revealed their loss of focus. They asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Now, had they asked Jesus, "Why couldn't you have driven it out when we asked?" that would have shown that they were focusing on being dependent on Christ through the power of prayer. The only power in prayer, and to do things such as cast out demons, the only power in prayer is Christ Himself. It's Christ Himself. The point is that the disciples had apparently forgotten this. They, of course, had been successful before in casting out demons by the power of Christ, but now it appears, we don't know, but it appears they had come to think of the power as their own. Praying for God's help to drive out this demon would have been an expression of dependence upon God, a trust that He and He alone could do the work. And that serves for us to remind us that the only good that we can offer the world comes not from focusing on our own words, but from speaking God's word. speaking God's victorious gospel of peace, won by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When we are confronted with our own ineffectiveness, as the disciples displayed for us today, we often have a reaction, at least I do, of, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to shut up. But speaking God's gospel, His word, in the face of our own weakness, that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. St. Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong," and he meant strong in Christ. Remember the word Jesus spoke to the woman and the disciples after, to the women and the disciples after his death on the cross and his resurrection? The word was peace. Peace be with you. Peace is what Jesus speaks into our world and into our lives. The word of peace that we speak to others around us is focused on Christ. It's not from us that peace comes. It's from Christ. Remember we said, the tongue we possess shares with God's tongue the power to affect others. Spoken prayer is powerful because God has promised to hear us for Jesus' sake. We can speak to God and can know to a certainty that God hears our speech because He's promised to do so. What can be more powerful than knowing that the God of the universe hears the words uttered by our tongues when we speak and pray in Jesus' name? In His name we all do pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please rise.